from Bass Hole Studios in Hollywood, California.
Yo, what time is it?
You're listening to I'm a Bass Hole with Doug Bass. We've all been one.
He's an asshole.
So let's laugh about it. Now, here's your host, Doug Bass.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to I'm a Bass Hole. I'm your host, Doug Bass. Make sure you follow the podcast on Instagram at Bass Hole Podcast or Bass Hole Show. The website is BassHoleShow.com. We already have our guests laughing in a little laughing fit over here. They are in the studio today.
I got top billing.
You did.
I did. Yeah.
I'm just gonna cut to you because Gary is very
so excited.
Gary's very eager to just be on the show. There they are, our guests today.
Oh, look at this.
Our comedians Gary Cannon and Eric Wheelo. They are here in the studio, guys. Thanks for coming in and doing the show.
How much longer is the podcast?
It's about five more seconds.
Okay. Yeah.
You know,
fresh off my Ian Russo podcast appearance.
You know what? This has been like in the works for about like 6 months trying to get you guys in here. Obviously, I wanted you both in here together because I thought it'd be fun and you guys are good friends and all that stuff. So the scheduling's been a little crazy, but
well, it's hard because I'm the only one that works. So I mean, it's just very difficult when you have two other guys that have. Yeah. A calendar free.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
It's true.
We literally, you know, catered around your schedule.
That's right.
Yeah. This is true. And Gary's best thing that he loves to do in life is to book something, then cancel something.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about assholes.
Gary canceled like three times doing this.
Right? No. Rita knows about it at the improv. He's the king of canceling.
I don't know if I can. Was it me who canceled three times?
Yeah. Well, you know,
I never thought it was fun.
You know what? You just stopped responding. And we had to like literally. Yeah. We literally had to keep bothering you to respond.
No. Like, no. Gary will stop messaging you in the group chat and then message me of like, just like, hey, What do you think about this rescue dog? Does that look cute?
I will tell you the way to get out of just about anything now is just the COVID line. That you have COVID.
You have COVID.
You have symptoms of COVID.
Yeah. But then I run into you at the improv performing and drinking, and I'm like, what happened to that COVID, Gary? Oh well.
Well, there was.
It has to do with the podcast. I don't want to get it on the microphone. You know.
There was that story where Fraser Smith, who's a regular host in LA, one of the best guy's been around forever.
Yeah.
He told me the great story of how he gets out of closing out the show. He'll just say that he's got another set somewhere
so he can just leave.
Yeah, and he usually does.
Yeah.
And so the one time that I tried to do it, I don't remember who was working the soundboard, but they started questioning me, like, where's the show at? And I was like, well, it's at the Laugh Factory. They're like, well, who's on it? Like, they just knew that it was just bullshit.
They started looking it up.
They started looking at the website. And then I just leave, and then they see me at the bar drinking because I just didn't want to stay in there.
Well, that's Craig because Robinson was on stage. They respect Frasier, and they don't respect you, Gary. I got to be honest with you.
They know Frasier's got, like, nine other sets in town.
Right. No, Frasier's suit jackets fit him. That's why, you know, that's...
Oh, my God.
But it was just funny that... I mean, I'm just like, they're really questioning me as to where I have to be. Which is very bizarre.
Well, because you're on their clock. They're paying you.
Yeah.
And then you're skipping out early.
Well, the amount of work I've gotten this town off of Gary just canceling. It's like most of my career. I got to be honest with you.
It was that very interesting thing that the guy was pulling up the lineups at other shows. Just like, no, you're not on these shows.
Well, it's funny because like, you didn't have time for this podcast.
Right.
And then you were late. And now we only have like 40 minutes. But you had like an hour and a half to do Ian Russo's.
With
Earl Skakel.
Yeah. And I'm just wondering, is that because you guys shot that in Pacoima where you both live? Or it's more convenient for you?
I don't know. I mean, the house or the little studio that he does that in, which obviously is where he's living,
right?
It was just a disaster. And Earl, I wasn't as critical about it as Earl was. There were dishes in the sink, literally. It was a Earl's like, you're bringing women over here. It's just.
Is he?
No, I don't know.
I don't want to waste too much time talking about it.
Come on. I mean, let's shit on somebody that's not here on the fucking asshole podcast.
But look, it's another podcast. He's doing his thing. That's good. But I'm glad that you devoted more time to him.
And Gary's doing the open for his 1 hour special in New York. I don't know if you knew that.
He's flying you out for that.
He's flying you out. He can barely fly himself out. No way. I've never seen somebody promoting. I mean, actually, back in the summer, he was promoting a date with Jenny
what
Sabrina.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
Huntington Beach. I'm just like, is this all this guy's got going on? It's unbelievable.
All right, let's not talk.
All right, pivot, Doug.
Can we edit this out? I mean, to be honest with you.
Pivot as a good host.
We're punching way down right now.
Yeah, exactly. Let's move on.
By the way, we're I don't know why we're ripping on Ian. We're in somebody else's kitchen.
Exactly.
This is where we
are. Except you don't see my kitchen.
That is true. That is true.
At least Doug has fucking working water. That's, you know.
And Doug doesn't have a Vaseline tub sitting next to his bed like Ian did, which was nasty.
Yeah.
All right. Let's pivot, Doug. I'm sorry.
Let's pivot into the real thing, exactly, Doug. What's this podcast about?
Now, for our listeners who may not know, Gary and Eric are stand-up comedians. They both have worked on the Conan show.
Yeah.
Is that where you guys met? Yeah.
That's where we met.
No, actually,
we met on Dion Cole's Black Box. So there was a show that Conan started branching out, doing his own show. So there was a show with Dion Cole, who is on Blackish now. Mm-hmm. He has Netflix specials. And Gary did the warm-up on there, and that's the first time I met you. And that was a tough gig.
Yeah, that was a tough gig. But we didn't really know each other that much because it was a once-a-week show.
Right.
And I jumped in later. I think I only maybe did 6 episodes. But I remember the first time I did that show, they said basically we shoot the show, and it was on the Conan stage. Mm-hmm. They used half of the stage. Peeking around the corner to see Conan's desk because you couldn't see it from the side we were using.
We blocked it off.
They didn't want people to know it was the Conan's desk.
No, right.
So they said the
kind of like how I block off my kitchen from this.
Right, but it's fair enough.
Not enough.
So they said
through a sheet. Yeah.
We shoot the show, and then at the end of the show, the writers will go backstage, give notes to Dion, and see what they want to do and do it again on a second pass.
That's cool.
And they said, we're in and out in like 10 minutes. It's very quick. We're going to go back, right, come back out. I think it was like 40 minutes. And they said, this never happens. This is the first. They'll always say that when they're negotiating the money. Like, you know, hey, the reason it pays next to dog shit is because it's going to be, you know, 10 seconds. And then we'll be back. And then it turned out to be a disaster.
And I was friends with Gary, and I know the stand-up job, and it's hard.
Yeah.
So I was a segment producer on the show, and we're doing the show, and I knew how Conan worked. But the big thing was, this isn't a Conan show. And I'm like, we're on his fucking stage. Yeah. His desk is right there.
It's right there.
It's right there. Yeah. So we'd be backstage, and we're going through notes, and it's like 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And we did this about 2 episodes. I think you started like episode 3 or 4, right?
It was in, yeah.
And it's just like going and going. And I'm just thinking about the warm-up guy. I don't even know Gary at that point. And I'm like, this is bullshit. This isn't the way shit should work. And I remember just standing up in that room and just being like, guys, we need to go shoot what we need to go shoot.
Yeah.
And
there was no sense of urgency.
And that's
the last
nice thing I ever did for Gary before I met him. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, I was going through the archives because Eric was on this show once before, and his asshole story had to do with Conan, actually, and you. Yeah. And it was about the holiday gift. And it was apparently everyone got an iPad or something like that or a tablet. And then Eric lied to you and said that that everyone also got a trip to Hawaii.
Yep.
And then you were like, I didn't get that. And like, he literally had you going for a while, right?
Yeah, that was 2 years ago.
We got our gifts early, and I said I wasn't going to open my gift until Christmas. So, Gary, don't tell me what the gift is.
Right.
So it was sitting under my tree, according to me. And then I called Gary Christmas morning, but I called a bunch of people that worked on the Conan show, and I told them, if Gary calls you and he asks, tell them that we have trips to Hawaii.
Yeah.
So I call Gary and I'm like, oh my God, trips to Hawaii, trips to Hawaii, trips to Hawaii. And Gary's like, you're fucking with me, right? And
yeah. I just remember it was like just this. I remember being down in like Huntington Beach on Christmas Day and just knowing that I was one of the few people
that wasn't
going to be going to Maui. And listen, I knew Conan.
How long did you buy this?
Listen, first of all, I'm texting everybody I know from the staff.
Yeah.
And just you're trying to be like, hey, happy holidays. How are you and the family? You don't want to bother them on Christmas morning.
Right.
And then you start to slide in. Hey, are you excited about the Maui trip or whatever? Yeah. And then I don't remember who Chris.
It was Greg Kasoff. He sent you like a lay emoji or some shit like that.
He was in on it.
Oh, man.
I then reached out to a camera guy and I said, are you going? And he said, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. But I was like, he's a camera guy. He's a black dude. I'm sure he wasn't invited.
He's not well-liked. Gary's not well-liked. You know, you're like, we're both not well-liked on this show.
Yeah, yeah.
So I knew that there, and then I don't
there
know.
There was a select handful of people.
Yeah, and I don't remember how.
I remember you told your wife at the time, Michelle, she's like, she's upset because I'm upset because we're not invited to Hawaii. I'm like, well,
and this was Christmas morning.
Yeah, and I'm going, it's Christmas morning. I'm going, Drew Carey did it, you know.
That's right.
He used to bring people all the time. For his show,
so why wouldn't this be happening?
It's our last season, and I'm like, you know, it's just it might be a tenured thing. You know, people he likes,
that
are personally connected to him.
People he knows will appreciate.
Well, before this too, I told Gary earlier, like probably what 2 years before that you're not well liked on the show.
Yeah, flat out.
Yeah, you did say that. Yeah, yes. You're like. You know,
he said Conan needs you, but he doesn't respect you.
Right.
That's
exactly
what I said.
What he said.
And it was, and I was 100% honest.
Sure.
I don't take any of that back.
Yeah. Yeah. He just said, and listen, looking back on that job, which was one of the greatest warm up gigs I've ever had.
Yeah.
I mean,
because now you're on what? The Masked Singer?
Well, I do The Masked Singer, but I do Jennifer Hudson now.
He does Jennifer Hudson.
Warner Brothers.
Right. The new Ellen.
That is the new Ellen, right? She took over.
It's the new Ellen, but it's funny because I've been only there for 2 months. I was at Conan for 5 years, and already 2 months into Jennifer Hudson,
she brought
I've been
you
on the
Maui.
Show
no.
three times. It's unbelievable. They throw me into segments, which is great. Yeah,
oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
So it just
I'll start watching it.
Yeah, well,
no, don't.
No, I'm just that's not your thing.
I watched The Masked Singer before. Probably.
But it's just one of those things. I knew Conan didn't love what I was doing. I mean, I just knew that throwing out T-shirts was kind of below the line of what. Right. He wanted a warm-up to be.
What did he want a warm-up to be, you think?
Well, I...
Did you have a conversation?
No.
I didn't even get a T-shirt, dude. Like, I went there.
You would have wanted a T-shirt?
I went there and I
didn't. You didn't get one? Well, that's because Gary probably saw you.
Was I doing it?
Well, I wish you were there because that's possible, actually.
Oh.
What year was it? I can tell you. What year was it?
It's about 4 years ago.
That's probably there.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Gary's very unmemorable. So that
this guy probably had his arms folded. So I wasn't going to point that out.
But what would Conan want for warm up? You think, rather than the T-shirts and the candy and the dancing or whatever?
I think I could speak to this.
Yeah.
Like Conan went through stages, and like the show's over now, and you know whatever.
We can talk about it.
We can talk about it a little bit. But it was Jimmy Pardo, and Conan was coming off of the Tonight Show thing, which was a lot of popularity.
Yeah.
And you know. We did it for a while, and then we're cutting seats out, and there wasn't the excitement. And they needed somebody that would, like, amp the crowd up, get them excited. And it wasn't even a Conan thing. It was just, like, a cultural change, in my opinion.
Right.
People needed stuff immediately. The younger generations wanted to be excited. They wanted to be in the moment. They wanted the gifts.
And the people that come to those shows, they're on vacation usually, or you know, whatever, fans. And they want to be, you know, there's a lot of sitting around, wasting time, you know?
So,
long day.
Yeah. So Gary filled in, and... took the job, and he took it, and he ran with it. And those crowds were amped. They were almost too excited at times for Conan's taste. But Gary is the best warm-up comic I've ever met in the history of my life. He's unbelievable at what he does. And he's the exact thing we needed in that moment. And I will say, and I told you that, Conan might not have respected the way you did it.
Right.
Right?
But you got the job done.
But that's what the audience needed at that time.
Well, because I think Conan, you know, and you know this, Eric, was a purist. I mean, I don't think he wanted some jackal jumping around in the audience, you know, throwing out T-shirts and running a dance contest. That's not what he wanted. I mean, and what Jimmy did for the time was unbelievable. Jimmy would just stand on the floor, tell jokes, go over a few things, and bring out the band. But the audience was so excited that it worked.
They want something.
They did.
It's like you kind of, it's like you get a T-shirt.
But I just remember the first day that I filled in for Jimmy, I said, hey, where are the T-shirts at? And they're like, that's not what we do. I mean, they don't buy those at the store. And I said, I need them. I really need this. And I just think that, you know, he saw that it was working. So that kind of led me into, you know, Eric and I talk about this all the time. I think I had the EP behind me, like Jeff, who really liked it, was basically the one who said, this is what we need.
Right.
This is how it's going to work. Right. So it really was.
And
one
it's
of
different.
The,
it's different. It's like a it different energy. Yeah.
It was a cultural change just in society and in terms of live audience and what they expect. And Gary has this rare ability to look like this, but connect to younger crowds. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And now, Gary, on your website, it says this is where the cover chart starts to make sense. Now, is this what does that
You've
mean?
You've never
exactly?
heard me say that.
You've never heard him say that.
Well, that's because I usually host.
No, I have. You do say that in the opening, right?
Well, when I host, I don't say it.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But
you want to talk about the biggest asshole? That's the biggest asshole I've ever heard in my life, dude. You see comics melt when Gary gets on stage and he's crushing in a room after you bombed in, and he gets on stage and he goes, guys, this is where the cover starts making sense.
Well, Gary's great. It's a great line.
No, then he does, and then he starts killing again, and he goes, comics in the back, this is called laughs.
These are called laughs. Yeah, right, I'll bring up that last guy again.
Right. He's coming back up.
Yeah, which is funny. Yeah. I remember being in Appleton, Wisconsin, working with a guy who hosted, and he was just bad. He was just not good.
Right.
And I kept doing that line, this is where the cover charts, and I'll bring up the first guy again. I didn't realize till after he was really butt sore about it. Like, just didn't take it well.
Yeah, like in your hosting, when you host, you really do like kind of pick on other comics and stuff like that. Now,
sure.
I mean, I think it's fair game. I would say, you know, like, but are there comics that are generally upset by your, you know, your demeanor, the way you pick them apart, or like, you know, literally like crush them after they go on? You know, I think it's funny and it's all good jokes, but. You know, have you had moments where it's like, this is uncomfortable, this guy hates me now, or whatever?
Well, I mean, listen, I've you know, there's been moments where like kind of like I was doing that benefit show that it was Bud Friedman's birthday, mm-hmm. and I was making fun of Orny Adams.
Right, right, okay.
And, you know, I think he was getting a little sore about it. You know, I think some people are still fragile about it. Their egos are sore about it. You know, Eric knows this. I work with Steve Byrne all the time, and I think because we're brothers and we've worked together so long for so many years on the road, I think after a certain time, if you keep making fun or dumping on somebody over and over again, they just get tired of it.
Yeah,
and maybe it's not even you making fun of them that's hurting them. It's maybe a situation that they're in, or there's something going on at home, or there's other things that has nothing to do with you making fun.
Yeah.
There's other things going on
and they might, is it working now?
Okay. Sorry.
He's doing sound effects, and sometimes it works.
Yeah, it wasn't pushed in enough.
Well, that would help.
Is telling me this all the time.
This is the best time to work out the kinks during the podcast.
There we go.
I'm fucking real.
I'm so sorry about that. Yeah. Continue.
It's all right.
Yeah. I'll speak to this,
my
too.
My apologies to the listener.
I'm not listening.
No, I mean, whoever downloaded.
I'm not listening. Yes.
Yeah. CJ's our one person who does download the show. Yeah. So. And he's here during the production, so that's sad. All right.
It's fucked up.
I will say Gary's been very generous with stage time with me, and we'd go do Conan shows, and we'd do San Diego because we do it every year.
Right.
And when I was a young comic and, you know, wasn't doing great, Gary would come up and he'd fucking shit on you. And even if you had a good set,
right,
and you fucking murdered, he'd still come on and convince people you sucked.
Right.
And
right.
then people wouldn't look at you in the eyes as they walked out, even if you had a good one. So it like made you want to become better.
Yeah.
To like,
that's
I have
an,
to
that's
be,
an applause, Gary, yeah, if you haven't heard one. Of
I have to be so good that no matter what Gary says about me, I'm Teflon and this crowd's not going to get it. And some comics don't get the way you pick on them.
Right.
And it's just fun. It's fair game. It's on the stage.
Well, it almost makes like, it's like if you start getting picked on, it's like it almost gives you as a comic, if you get to go back up or whatever, it's like, well, you know, let me think of something that's even funnier for Gary or whoever.
Well,
you know,
but if he's hosting or he's going before you can't, or he's going after you there's no rebuttal.
There's no
rebuttal. The worst thing you could do in the world is fucking have Gary Cannon follow you on stage, because everybody's going to think you fucking suck.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, there are certain guys that I love doing it with. Like Amir K will love the joke.
He's always
good at it. You know, I remember Sam Tripoli was on a show a couple of weeks ago and he didn't do all that well. And I remember he walked off stage.
I was doing sound for that.
Yes, you were. And I remember saying, now you see why he's one of Carnival's top comics working. Like, and he gets it. I always used to do this joke, too. After somebody would get off stage when I was hosting, I would say something like, the manager said to me, the manager would say to me, hey, if somebody doesn't do well, do time in between to pick the energy back up. And I was like, guys, we'll fucking be here all night.
Yeah, you know,
but some people do get a little, you know. The worst thing a comic can do is I'll ask their credits and they'll say, just say whatever you want. You're like,
and that's, yeah, no, with you, that's like, yeah.
But then other, by the way, other comics will give it right back. You know, some comics will get up on stage and just say, if you don't start laughing, I'll bring Gary back up again.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And that's a great callback. I mean, but you and I got into a big kind of tiff from that night in San Diego because you were really hurt about it. And I was just over the top. His girlfriend at the time was in the crowd and I was just shitting. And like Eric said, you can start convincing people that you did poorly, even if you did well.
Right.
You know what I mean? That guy just ate a dick. You're like, I thought he did well, but
enjoyed it. And then they start double thinking.
Well, the thing that fucking pissed me off about that night is you put your buddy on the show who bombed extra fucking hard.
Yep.
And he was blackout drunk and he shouldn't have been on the show. And you didn't say one word about him. And then I went second and we're like, seven comics in.
Right.
Like, it was a great lineup.
You didn't say anything about your friend that bombed?
No, nothing. Did not say a fucking thing. Protected him and then brought me up every fucking comic.
That's kind of an asshole and move, didn't, right?
That was a dick move.
You came to the Spreckles Theater where we're doing the Conan shows in San Diego for Comic-Con, and you walked up to me, and I was not talking to you. And you know I was fucking pissed. And I said, I'm not pissed you shit on me. I'm pissed.
Now, why didn't you make fun of your friend as opposed to the other people you know?
I don't know.
Well?
Was he
like a newer comic? Was this like...
Oh, I think he'd only done comedy four times or something like that.
So you kind of like gave him like a little spot.
Yeah, I gave him a pass.
And I was producing the show and I went to Gary and I said, he's too drunk, he's gonna fuck this up, and he did, and I warned Gary and Gary's like, no, put him up, and then didn't shit on him. And I go, if you're gonna shit on people, it goes both ways.
Yeah,
it goes,
right.
It's an equal opportunity shit on, and that's fucking forgot to do it.
He forgot to do it.
I just let him have a pass. Is this Fred Norris running this
out? what are we doing here? Yeah, these are way late. What's with the fart fucking shit?
Shit on him.
I'll say this, like what Gary does great and what people don't understand is like, if you have a bad set and Gary's making fun of you, it can save you to walking out that door. It's like,
absolutely.
People don't like a show's 90 minutes long and it is a show. And I think we get too involved of like, it's about me. It's like, if Gary's having fun with me and he's shitting on me or we're shitting on each other and I didn't have the best set, as long as the audience is having fun, or if I'm on stage and Gary's shitting on me, we're having fun, and that reflects. There's laughs in front of you.
And it shows that you have a sense of humor, at least. Yeah. Like, if Gary's making fun of you, you could take it. You know, you roll with it. You stick around afterwards. You're not embarrassed.
I won't do now is if, you know, there's somebody that goes on before me at the improv.
The cold open.
Yeah, the cold open.
Oh, the cold open. Set the tone.
And I've never met them, and maybe it's their first time. I definitely won't dump on them.
So you don't do the cold. You don't make fun of the cold.
I will if it's somebody I know.
If it's
somebody like Rocky or I'll make fun of those guys all day long. But if it's somebody that I don't know.
We had to have talks about this.
Yes.
And I told him, I said, dude, these people are getting opportunities and you can't shit on new comics that are like trying to shine and trying to showcase and they work
like,
really hard.
It's also like, you know, one of the crappiest spots on the show.
Crappiest spots. They're excited about it.
For the listeners that don't know what a cold open is, it's before the show starts, the show's going to start at 8:00. At 7:55, you go up cold. Everybody's still getting seated. Drinks are still getting served. And you come up and you have to do 5 minutes and it's hard.
And
if you don't know how to do crowd work, if you don't know, if your jokes don't hit, you don't know how to craft a 5 minute set, it might be the most brutal moment you've ever had.
Yeah.
And just then Gary, roofie him.
Roofie the audience?
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, that can work. And then Gary comes up like a fucking cannon. Yeah. You know,
I will say for me, it's great because you have somebody that's already made the announcement, somebody that's already kind of like set a little bit of the tone for the show.
Yeah.
And then you come in and just kind of ride off of it.
Exactly.
And it doesn't always work. But like, again, you can't, it's just a bad spot. You don't, if you see somebody that does well on that spot, it's kind of a good thing. I mean, it really is because if they can kind of kill in that spot at 7:55 before the show even starts, that's a great moment for them.
And some people don't like it. Like Frasier loves the cold open. You love the cold open. Some people that host these shows don't like the cold open. But it's like you need to have that development spot for people that –
That needs to, you know, try stuff and then really develop themselves as a comic and, you know.
But you like it because it's like.
I love it.
It gives you a little
breaking
breather.
The ice.
Not only that, I think it's good. I mean, how are these people, you know, you got to give them the opportunity somehow.
Sure, yeah.
There were times where we didn't have a cold open and I said, let's get one. I mean, like grab somebody.
Let's give somebody that five minutes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, why not?
No, but that's where the cover charge comes.
That's where the cover charge, man. Yeah. As soon as you get up there. Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I like that. It's right on your website too. So people see it and they're like, "Yes, I want this guy."
This is where the cover charge starts making sense. I just added that, by the way. That was new. Did you?
Finally, I was checking out your websites, and I was like, "Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I like that." Yeah.
I thought you try to avoid that, just identity of you. Just be
no, I like it. I do like it. Like if I put out a comedy CD, that's what it would be called.
That's what it'd be called.
Gary is the biggest asshole in the scene. That's more loved by anybody I've ever met.
That's true.
Don't understand it. It's just like the way you look is just like non-gendered at this point, and. Yeah. Nobody knows. Is this a man? Is he a woman? Is he sure. Asian? I don't know. If I put him on his back, he might not be able to get up. And I got to say, Gary, like you are, I don't know. You're like Don Rickles. Like,
you are. And you always wear a suit when you perform, right? Usually.
Yeah, which yeah
you,
I have to.
Which I love.
Which is a great thing.
Not a lot of people do that anymore.
Yeah. No. You know?
Yeah.
I just don't. Listen, it's my thing. I think hosting, you got to look at least nice.
I think so.
But yeah. I remember working at a show, and I just remember one of the comics was wearing like sweatpants. Michael Costa walked in. He's like, sweatpants? Like, it's just like... We're at a show on a Friday night. Yeah. It's like,
but that's the new thing now. It is.
Shorts, sweatpants,
hoodies, fucking
tank tops.
Like, whatever. It's more about looking cool. Like, how cool are my shoes?
Yeah.
They're worried more about that than the fucking
like,
jokes.
I'm comfortable up here, you know, because I'm dressed comfortable.
Yeah.
I think, listen, it drives me crazy when I see it in Vegas because Vegas, it's a showroom.
It's a showroom. People are paying money to go out.
Come on.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It's that Vegas crowd. They want.
There you go.
It finally worked.
Every now and then it works. Yeah, it usually doesn't.
All right, you're more Fred.
Yeah, we got you right there. Yeah, but I just don't know what is with people and their appearance because, well, listen, I mean, I understand that people got to make money and jump around and do shows, but it is just unbelievable. And you've seen this working at the Improv, how many people are late.
Oh,
they just disrespect. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, it's weird. Sometimes there's a lack of professionalism that just goes on where it's like, someone doesn't show up for a spot or they're super late or, you know, and then everyone's got to scramble or stretch or whatever.
And that's my thing. If I even think I'm going to be a few seconds late, I'll just bail on it because I just don't want
this podcast. You're probably going to have to cancel the show. You know? Gary has a show right after this podcast. He needs to run.
Well, you do too, but yours is 3 hours
away. Where's your show tonight?
I'm in Huntington Beach at the Rec Room tonight.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, doing a little headlining set in front of Trump Country. I'm excited. Nice. It's going to be good.
By the way, I'm too old to be like thinking about that drive to Huntington Beach. That just, to me, it's hard to get out of the house. Just like if I just only do like a 10:30 show at the Improv and it's like 9 o'clock. I'm like, I'm going to bed. Like, this is not.
It's too late.
I can't wake up and do this.
I know. Exactly. That's how I am a lot of the times, too. I'm like, I got to, even working there, I'm like, I got to drive up the street to the.
Yeah.
So I would not work there if I didn't live this close to the place.
You have to.
I'll tell you that right now. It's not worth it.
You have to. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It makes all the difference, though.
Yeah. So, Gary, so Eric has told his asshole story on the show before. Now, this is the Basshole show, and guests come on here. They talk about a time in their life that they were an asshole. Is there a specific story that you'd like to share with the audience member that's downloaded this?
About just me being an asshole?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I think if you look at overall just general terms or speaking, I think that Eric kind of nailed it. I think I'm always an asshole on stage. And then when people come out of the club and meet me, they're like, oh my God, you're just a completely different person.
Because you do hang around after the show. You hang around. Greet the fans.
I literally spend my $100 from the show buying drinks for everybody. Yeah. I literally will come home with no money or maybe have spent money. Right. So it is that weird thing of like, I really do like just portraying being a complete dickhead on stage. I mean, listen, doing it at Jennifer Hudson now, when I first started there, it's daytime. It's got to be clean. It's got to be a little more above board.
That's true. Yeah. And how is the adjustment to that?
Well, the problem is I can't contain myself.
Yeah.
Because literally, like, a couple of shows in, I'm like, I got to just kind of do my thing and fly off the rail a little bit and see how much leeway they'll give me.
Right.
So, like, I always say I make fun of Dr. Phil or I'll make fun of the COVID testing or whatever. And I know that other warm-ups doing daytime can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, it's all like, hey, guys, smile, and we're here, and blah, blah, blah. But because I still need to infuse a little bit of, like, the snarkiness.
Right.
I'm waiting for somebody to come out and just say, hey, we can't make fun of Dr. Phil here, or we can't, you know.
Do
what
they
mean?
Give you no? They give you notes, right?
Like, no,
like, no, they don't.
No, they're nobody's like, watching.
Okay,
no
one's watching.
No, no, no,
they are watching.
Right.
They are. But you're doing a great job.
You're doing
at
a great
you
job.
Do.
You know what you're doing. You've and been doing the warm up for years.
And you're doing what makes you you.
Nobody right.
We were one up with the Viva Las Vegas. Right.
There
we
were.
There we go. Back at even.
Exactly. My bad.
Strike two.
That's not good. Yeah. But no, I think that's you know. Listen, I will say it's funny because when I was in high school, I was always the kid that was friends with everybody that would come close to getting the shit beaten out of me, but I always knew how to pull my way out of it by just being funny. So yeah. I was always the...
Were you the class clown?
Yes.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, and just would get, you know, I remember a great example. I got suspended for calling my science teacher a name or whatever, and I got suspended. My mom knew, but my dad didn't. And I remember my mom went to work and my dad had no idea that I was suspended. Meanwhile, we lived on a court that
Where'd
was
you
completely
grow up?
Empty. Michigan.
Michigan.
So you would look outside and there would be just nothing. Everybody yeah. was gone to work and school. Would be like, why is my son the only one home if school is out? I mean, this makes no sense. You know what I mean? I just remember that. But I just was able to kind of, oh, Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
I remember just being able to find that groove to not get the shit beaten out of me because I learned how to just play the line. You know what I mean? It was just like, one of my favorite memories in high school was I worked at a sporting goods store in high school. Mm. My buddy and I did.
Did you play sports?
No.
No, but you were.
Women's hacky sack.
Does he look like he plays sports?
You were like, let me get a job at a sporting goods store. Like, so will you buy a baseball bat from this man?
Excuse me, miss. I remember, so I worked in the store and my buddy and I, when we were working in the store, we would, you know, embarrassingly enough to say this, but we would steal shoes. We would steal.
Embarrassingly.
We would steal shoes.
Steal shoes.
Like what, golf shoes?
Just running shoes.
They had like Reeboks and stuff like
Reeboks, that. Reeboks, Nike. My dad had a pair of Air Jordans. I mean, so we had so many.
So would you put them on in the store and just walk out with them? Would that be the kind of
thing? No, we had kind of a trick. The trick would be we pretend like we were throwing out garbage. Oh my God, that sounded real.
What was that?
Was that an air horn or something? That was weird. we would pretend that we were throwing garbage out, bring those out, and then come back and get them later at night. It was a pretty good scam. So what happened was there was a day in school where my buddy and I, who worked at the shoe store together, he was pissed at me because I didn't get him something the night before. Mm-hmm. And we're arguing about it very loudly in class. He's pissed. Everybody around us knows exactly what's going on. They knew we were doing it. The accounting teacher pulls me outside and he's like, hey, man, I don't know what's going on here, but whatever it is, you need to shut it down right now because everybody's talking about what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm just protecting you. And I was like, wow, it's a great moment, right? Come back in. Everybody's like, what's Mr. Rohde asking you out there? What's Mr. Rohde asking? And just from the top of my lungs, I just stood in the front of the class and I said, he needs a size 11. And the class fucking loses it. And I just remember, I remember thinking he was being a friend and trying to help me.
And you threw him under the bus.
And I tossed him. You know what I mean? And
that's
I just remember, I just remember he just shook his head and was just like, You know, I said he needed a size 11. And I was just like, to me, that was so funny.
It was
just
funny.
Getting the laugh rather than getting his.
Yeah, taking his advice and being like, I better.
Didn't
like,
give a shit.
Yeah,
it was just wrapped to whatever it was.
And
you know what I mean?
And you kept on stealing the shoes.
And then we eventually, I don't know who quit or whatever, but the game kind of ended.
Yeah.
But
there was no cameras back then. No one got caught.
Nothing.
The cops came to his house, took the fucking Jordans off your dad.
I mean,
I remember stealing stuff. I worked at a toy store in high school, and I think I was like into yo-yos at one point.
Yeah,
and I started stealing like yo-yos. That was like the biggest thing I stole, which was like lame as hell.
Oh, I worked at the Milwaukee County Zoo, and I was like,
Eric stole a giraffe.
I stole a fucking giraffe.
That he fucked.
That's impressive.
But I was head of like concession, so like I would stock all the places that serve food there. So I had access to like all the food, all the frozen burgers, all the frozen brats, fucking hot dogs, Choco tacos. Anything you needed was coming from Zufari, and I would like load up a golf cart and bring it to those stands. But I'd made the stock order, so whatever I had to reorder, I have to bring back.
Yeah.
So I created this whole system through college and high school where I just steal the shit, recreate the stock order, and then I would sell it to my friends, like a fucking case of brats for like $6, you know, a case of fucking bratwurst, $6. And
they'd buy it.
They'd buy it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they'd also do weddings at the zoo, and there'd be like, they drink their
married at a zoo.
No. Well, it's Zufari, you know?
Zufari? I mean,
it's
that's
it's
a safari and a zoo.
Is it's that Wisconsin. That? I didn't know that. They all look like fucking elephants. Let's all be honest right here. But anyways, and so the kegs would be half empty. So at the end of the night, I'd go to my buddy, my buddies that didn't work at the zoo. I'd be like, pull your van up. We up like 3 half barrels, half full.
Right.
And we'd throw it into their cars. As long as they got back in the morning, we'd have keg parties with half full kegs. Stole them.
Yeah.
Every fucking time.
And then you were in charge of the inventory too.
And so. In charge of the inventory.
So no one knows.
There was a great story. My buddy had a brother who owned a Cold Stone Creamery back in Boston.
Yeah.
And, the owner of the shop was going into the store to visit and just check things out. And, you know, he had a couple of 16-year-olds working there. And as he's walking into the store, a family is coming out and eating Cold Stone. He's like, oh, my God, I'm so happy that you guys went to Cold Stone. And the family was like, yeah, it's great. Our friend Jeremy's working in there. Gave us the whole thing for free. and the guy's like, what the fuck? Like, the owner.
You know
what I mean?
The
owner. I mean, I'm sure they didn't know he was the owner. But I'm just like, it is so crazy to think. I remember when I worked in high school, I worked at a video store. My buddy.
I can see you doing that.
My buddy would always come in and rent the pornos.
Yeah.
And like, I would just make a loud announcement that, you know, when he was checking it out, it'd be like, okay, this is, you know, big titty to Alice.
Yeah.
And like, he would just be like, it's not even worth coming here. You know what I mean? I'll just like, it was so bizarre. But yeah, if I were an owner of a store and had to hire high school kids, I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't. They're ripping you off blind.
But they have to for certain.
But that's
jobs,
fun.
Right?
Like that's the whole thing about being a fucking kid. If you're not stealing from your job,
but I don't think these kids get away with that shit anymore.
Like, no, there's too many cameras.
There's people looking at shit. Like it's like then they'll get fired immediately. Probably. Well, arrested.
I remember. I don't know if it had it at the toy store that you were at, but we actually installed in the video store dummy cameras. Because they were just a lot cheaper. It's almost like getting that, you know, the security sign that you put on the front. You know, this house is protected.
Right, right.
But we didn't even have the real cameras.
Right. People
so I knew that. Yeah, but it was just crazy.
Yeah.
I think a toy store would be unbelievable to work for. I mean, because that's...
You know, that was my first job in like 8th or 9th grade or something. And the store was called Zany Brainy, which was like... I think there was like there's two of them like in the New Jersey area. Or
they
whatever.
Sell like board games and magic tricks,
magic tricks, yo-yo. It was like they were toys, but they were like a little like you know out of the box kind of things. You know, not at your.
By the way, I'm going to tell you this. Yeah. See, I was stealing from a huge conglomerate that had money.
Right.
You were stealing from a mom and pop place. Yeah, that's why they went out of business because of the yo-yo losses.
Maybe.
See,
I was like, I questioned myself.
I stole from the Milwaukee County. Fuck. This asshole, see, fucking dick face,
stealing
from a fucking
two
family.
Stores, two look stores. At us.
Yeah, what a gross fuck.
Yeah, but
I think they had maybe more than two, but I don't know.
Now,
but,
okay, here we go.
It was regional.
80 stores around the country, including Europe.
Yeah, say what you need to say to sleep at night.
But I was like, I questioned myself after that. I was like, this was my first real job, like as an 8th grader, and I'm already stealing from like the store. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? Like, that's not good.
Did you always justify it too? I kind of looked at it like, well, fuck these guys. They're only paying me minimum wage. Like, I was just kind of like kid.
You know what I think I got pissed about? Because I got halfway through like the job at some point, like, they were like, we need you to clean the restroom or something like that. Like, it was like, they were like, you need to clean the restroom as part of the, you know, the stock employee or whatever. And I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, you know, like, I don't do that at my house, you know,
right.
Like, I'm not doing it, you know? And like, they were kind of pissed, I think, but they still like let me work there or whatever. But I refused to do it. And then, like, I think I just started stealing yo-yos after that or something.
Can I just say this? Because we all grew up where, like, Toys R Us was the place.
Yeah,
like, that was the greatest place.
Toys R Us kids, baby.
Toys R Us.
Now, to see these makeshift pop-up Toys R Us stores at Macy's,
right.
It's gross. It's like, just because there's a Jeffrey head, like, in the middle of the toy department.
Didn't they go out of business, Toys R Us? But some of them are back, I think.
They did.
Well, those kids are smart, and Gary can't pry on them. You know, like, that's...
I can't dress up in a Jeffrey costume. Yeah. But no, now some of the Macy's department stores.
KB stores. KB
toy stores. That was one.
Yeah.
KB's. Yeah.
KB.
But they have like they're just pop-up stores.
They're pop-up stores.
That the toy department is now renamed Toys R Us, even though it's bullshit. You know
what
I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's like a pop. But the thing, yeah, I would think like the thing, what they should have, I think, for kids now is just like, yeah, like a pop-up store where they can go and play with the toy or see it. You know, because now all the parents just order it off Amazon, I'm guessing, or whatever. Yeah. But like, you know, the kid doesn't get to see it in the store and be like, this looks cool, or press the button that makes the noise or whatever. You know?
Now, I don't know what you guys did, but I know for me, when I was a kid, Toys R Us was huge for like Atari cartridges or ColecoVision. Games. And when you would go in there, they would have all the cartridges behind the glass where somebody was working. So you'd grab one of the stickers.
Yeah. We had a piece of paper or a sticker. Yep.
That you presented, you pay, and then pick it up at order pickup.
I remember that. I remember going in as a kid, like Nintendo games, and like whatever the hot game was, like my mom would take me like to the store to like look at the picture of the game, but they didn't have the cassettes out. But I would take the paper or the sticker or whatever, and I knew like my birthday was like in a month or something like that.
Take it with you.
And I would take it, and like I knew like my uncle would buy me like a Nintendo game for my birthday or whatever. And then he would take me back, and we'd bring the paper, and it was sold out by the time we went back because it was super popular. And I'd be like, "Well, I have a ticket. So where's the game?"
Right.
And like apparently they had it. Like there's one like laying around somewhere, like you know, back.
I used to hide it or bring right because you're just like, if I have the sticker,
some
they
other
must
kid
have
is
it.
Gonna come fucking take it. Yeah.
By the way, the world's most popular game. They're like, we have one back here, but nobody's presenting the sticker.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So what's happening here? Meanwhile, you can just walk up. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Where's that goddamn sticker? Yeah, it was like a little piece of paper.
It was a piece of paper that had the price and the name of the game.
Yeah. Did you guys have Sam Goody's?
Yeah.
Sam Goody's.
Music and movies.
So they have the CDs before they put the plastic, like the real plastic. You remember that thing?
That plastic thing?
That it was carried around.
Yeah, it was like that big. Yeah.
So they always just had the scanner on the back of it. So there was also VHS tapes.
Yep.
So I remember like the cool thing in high school was going into Sam Goody, grabbing a VHS tape, tearing that thing off, stuffing it in your fucking, you know, your hoodie and walking the fuck out.
Yeah.
And if you could do that and go into the Buckle, remember the Buckle?
The Buckle. I don't know what that is.
Well, they were run on commission. If you could go in there, go to the back of the store, touch the door and come back, you won the game. But like Sam Goody stealing. That was the biggest thing.
I never stole. Yeah, I was always scared to steal from like a store like that. I feel like.
Oh, I stole from Sam Goody nonstop.
I would have loved to because I was obsessed with the. Yeah, whatever movie was coming out.
Dude, if you could steal from the Buckle or Sam Goody, you were the king of fucking high school.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Because that's a big deal. When we were in high school, we had somebody that would order. We worked for the school bookstore, and then we had somebody that we knew that ordered everything for the store.
Oh yeah.
And you know, at the time they would order cassette tapes and all this other stuff. So we would tell them what we wanted and then it would come in and then we would just take it. And you got to remember, it's obviously there's like four items in the music and record department.
Right.
So all of a sudden it's gone.
The stuff that the store bought. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember the teacher got so mad. He said, if this stealing keeps up, we're going to just go to bookwork. And there's going to be no more working the store. And everybody kind of knew we were doing it. They're like, you assholes better fucking tell them what we're doing. You know what I mean?
Imagine that kid that's so poor in high school. He's just stealing the toilet paper to bring it to his house.
Let me ask you this now, though. As a grown adult, would you do you steal anything currently or would you consider stealing stuff now?
Oh.
Ooh. No, I mean,
not that you'll admit it on here,
but
right
that's
now.
A fine line. There's so many things that you could, like, let's say a store undercharges you. Do you say something? Let's say Amazon sends you two items and you only ordered one. Is that
a boy's virginity?
You know what I have done on Amazon like before? Like I've had something and it fucking broke. Right. Or whatever. And I've reordered it and then I've sent back the broken thing. And they're like, yeah, OK, great. Like I've done that. I don't know if that's an asshole thing, but you know.
Here's what I will say. I mean, I don't know if it's, well, I guess it would be, but like, I am starting to become that guy that's returning everything at Costco. Oh, I'm just like,
you go and return things to Costco?
Oh, you can return anything at Costco.
Really?
You can have a mattress for 2 years and return it to Costco.
Seriously?
Yes, they'll take it back.
I go to Costco, and every time I go there, I look at the return line, and I'm like, you know what?
Quick.
I'm like, I'll just keep it. I thought, like, that's the last place I would go return something because I don't want to fucking wait.
Dude, you can eat two items out of, like, a chocolate bag you don't like, as long as it's, like,
Really?
A quarter full.
So I go to Costco like I go like once every 2 months or something like that.
Yeah.
So if I buy stuff and I'm like, you know what? I don't really like this.
They'll take it back.
Take it back.
By the way,
just keep the receipt.
By the way, you don't even need the receipt.
You don't even need the receipt. Just show them that fucking executive membership.
They can bring it up.
Receipt.
Start about being a member.
They don't want a receipt.
All right, I'm going to try this.
By the way, go to Costco. By the way, go the first weekend of January. Watch how many people are returning Christmas trees.
Wow.
They're just returning pre-lit trees.
I mean,
it's unbelievable.
I need a tree. Maybe I'll do that this year.
They will take it back in a second. There's no questions
Why
asked.
Is that? They just
tires, mattresses, couches,
tires?
Video games.
You can
anything.
Drive around for like 3 months and
then
return
they'll
the
replace
tires?
Your tires immediately. Buy your tires from Costco.
Costco used to sell full above ground pools, and I would see, and maybe there was something wrong with it, but I would see people taking them back.
Summer's
in the
over. Let's get back to
that. Yeah, pull that shit down.
Well,
people have no shame.
Summer's over. Return the pool.
I know. Well,
it is getting cold.
I know Nordstrom's. You can return anything to Nordstrom's after. Like my ex would always buy clothes from Nordstrom's, wear them for like 2 years, keep the tags on them, and then bring them back and get new fucking.
Sounds like
clothes.
A great lady. I don't know why this didn't work out
for you. I'd leave the tags on it. No, leave it on.
Did you guys have this as kids growing up? Because speaking of like going shopping, I remember. When we were kids, my parents would say, we can either buy you gifts for Christmas or we'll give you money and just know the day after Christmas, everything is dirt cheap. And kids never wanted money.
Wait,
they always wanted to open something on Christmas Day.
Wait, how old were you when they gave you this offer?
25.
That makes sense.
This last year. No, we were, I don't know, like 13, 14.
That makes sense as a teenager.
Yeah,
but they would say,
but as like a 5-year-old, you do want something.
No, you want fucking gifts.
Do you want cash?
Yeah.
And then you can go the next day. We'll take you to Kmart or Target, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah. I think that's great.
And you could just, but everybody wanted to open something.
Well, I think getting like, you know, like one gift to open, like this is from, you know.
Yeah.
This is from us, or this is from Santa, or whatever, you know, like, you know, and then you open it, and then the rest would be cash or gift cards or whatever.
We had, what night did you open Christmas gifts, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
We did both. We would do, well, because, like, we would do Christmas Eve with, like, my dad's side of the family, and then Christmas Day would be, like, my mom's side. So, like, we would do, like, half and half.
Okay. Yeah. What did you do?
Younger Christmas morning, as we got older, we'd do Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a cousin that his family would open Christmas Eve morning, and we were just so jealous.
Oh, fuck.
Because he did
Christmas
it.
Eve morning.
Christmas Eve morning.
Early.
You're like, oh, my God, that's a day early.
I like to have a little, you know, like, you know, a little bit for the evening and then some for the day.
Do you think kids of this generation do unboxing of their Christmases now?
Probably. I would think so because because it's like, you know, they're probably getting, you know, a hot toy or an electronic or whatever. And they probably have a YouTube channel or whatever. And they want to do an unboxing video. So they get views. You know,
that's interesting.
Do you know what an unboxing
video
is?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How old do you think?
I don't know. Do you watch those on YouTube? Do you
I know, but I know what they are. Yeah. Yeah, I do know. Yeah.
Some people don't know what they are.
No, that's true. I mean, there's millions of hits on those goddamn
things.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense because it's like, you know, it's kind of like, I want to see what this shit is before I buy it, you know, see how it works.
I just remember like having that night of just what some nights some years it was like a game show. Do you go with the cash or do you go, you know, the gifts? And then you'd go the cash, and then that Christmas Eve night, you'd be like, fuck, I should have gone the gifts. Because you're like, I don't want to wait a day and a half now to go out with, you know. And then there was nothing on sale. It was all picked over bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, couldn't even find anything. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, because it was all like, did you do like stockings, stuffers or whatever?
Yeah.
I knew kids that would get like prime gifts in the stocking.
Oh, in the stock. Yeah.
It's like, here's a video
$500
game in your fucking stocking or like whatever. I'm like, no, that's a fucking gift that you would open.
Gift.
Like some people just had that shit in their stocking.
Did
like,
you guys do Saint Nick?
Like Santa?
No, there's Saint a Saint Nick and it's in Milwaukee where it's like December 10th and you hang your stockings and Saint Nick shows up earlier before Santa does and your stocking's full. So it's like a pregame, it's a fluffer before Christmas comes around.
Oh, I never heard of
these rich kids get an extra Santa.
Apparently,
yeah, we do. We got an extra Santa.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, if you're really Catholic and you really jerk off the fucking priest, you get extra gifts. That's what I'm saying here.
I never even heard.
You
of
never
that.
Heard of Saint Nick?
No.
And you're from Michigan. This is a Wisconsin thing.
Must be a Midwest thing.
Yeah,
I didn't know it.
No. Yeah, we would get our stocking early on the 10th, and then Christmas would come around and you get your gifts.
Yeah, we didn't have that. We had like secret Santas and shit like that at school. Like people would do that.
But. Yeah, you get. I remember.
Oh, wait. I got a thing.
Go ahead. Okay.
All right, one, two, three, go.
Do you remember in high school when it was like Valentine's Day and you could buy roses?
This is my story.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Wait,
yes. You have a story?
You're stealing my story. I know the story. That's what I was going to tell.
No, wait, I'm not telling you like your story.
Like this is the story.
Like the people that sell the roses at the bar?
No. Oh, in high school.
Okay. Well, let me hear
we didn't
this.
Have
this
people selling roses.
Hold on. Wilo, I bet he's ripping my story.
Right, I'm not ripping your story.
Is this a bit you do?
No. Okay, go ahead.
Sounds like a bit.
I'm just bringing it up because like during Valentine's Day, you could buy roses in high school and then like, whoever was doing homeroom would come around to the class and drop it off. And like, there'd be like the hot guy that got like 13 fucking roses and nobody would get shit.
We would have the Valentine cards that people would
No, get. It was roses. All right, roses. Did you do the same thing?
Wait a minute. Is there more to your story? Was that it?
Oh, no. You go, then I'll go. Go
ahead. Okay. So my story is, I think this is your story that you're selling is mine.
No, I'm not.
This is the story. Because I've shared this story before.
Yeah.
There was a girl who I really liked in high school. Her name was Stacy. I really liked this girl a lot.
Yeah. Oh, we actually have her on the phone right now.
We do. Hi, Stacy.
Hi.
She.
Hi.
Talk to your son. She blew me off, dated another guy, boom, boom, boom.
Right.
So we're sitting in class and a row comes up and there's a note saying, hey, sorry, things are a bumpy start, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Would love to maybe reconcile or call me tonight. That's basically what the notes. I was on cloud nine, right? I was like, wow, it's going to work out.
Deal, yeah.
I call her that night. I said, hey, so nice of you to send the flower. I wanted to call you like you asked. She said, I have no idea what you're talking about. And it turned out my friends paid the dollar and had it sent up.
Oh, man.
And it was that your story?
No, that was your story.
Okay, but
that was actually Eric from the set of Conan.
These were true bombs you could drop on your friends to just fuck them over. You could write anything on that note and deliver it, and it'd be a rose. And it's just like, oh, Samantha in chemistry is really fucking into you. Call me tonight. I'm going to meet you in the parking lot. And then you just be sitting there and be like, you fucking loser.
Wow.
Yeah. You are right. There was the guy that would literally leave his class with like 18 roses. Yeah. He's like, who am I banging tonight? It was just unbelievable.
I feel like that stuff doesn't even happen in schools anymore, right?
But you know how I got laid in high school is I'd buy it for all the girls that didn't get one.
Mm. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Good approach. Oh,
yeah. Where'd you get that money from?
The girls that were a little slow, you know, you give them a rose, you dance with them at prom, and then guess what? All those girls are like, that's pretty nice. Yeah,
that guy's good.
He's a pretty nice guy.
And that was only, they were a dollar, I think, at the time.
And, you know, if they don't have it all together, you just fuck them, you know?
I just remember calling her. I was like, oh, this is going to be great. We're going to get back and all this other stuff. And she's like, I had no idea. I think looking back on that, what pissed me off was that I didn't think of it.
You didn't think of it.
Like that bothers me.
That's something
I
would have
done in 2 seconds.
You got played in a game that you usually play.
That's something I would have done. Because I remember there was a story at the improv. Mm-hmm. It was at the Brea Improv one time, and a buddy of mine went in, and he fucked around or did something that really pissed me off.
Yeah.
And another buddy of mine said, Cannon, the only reason you're pissed is because you didn't think to do it first.
That's true.
I was like, I got to be honest with you. That's probably true.
A good prank is like worth a lot of, respect, I'd say.
You got to learn that you got to jump ahead of the curve.
Can I talk about Gary being an asshole today?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, please. That's what we're here for. We got about, 10 minutes and then Gary's going to leave.
All right. So Gary is an asshole today. My buddy John, he's the new showrunner of the wrap-up show with Howard Stern. I'm not going to say his name.
No.
So I picked him up from the airport and we're driving. We're about to go on a hike. And Gary calls me and I get him on the fucking call in the car.
Right.
And Gary goes, I heard you had a Sona on. And what do?
I heard you had Sona on from Conan.
Oh, yeah. Sona. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And?
But I don't remember the, I what did
Gary,
that say?
Gary goes, well, Gary Delabate and Rasan never talked about Sona, and your show fucking sucks.
Okay.
You said that about what? The Stern show?
No. The wrap-up show. Eric's adding a lot of nonsense to this story.
No. I'm hanging out with John, and he's giving like such feedback from somebody that just got this job. And Gary's just like, unbiased opinion. I feel like you could do this,
giving notes
and that.
Yeah.
Couple of things.
Know this person.
No, I do. Two things. I do know him because he worked at Conan.
Okay, all right.
Now he works at Howard Stern.
Yeah.
when I made an idea observation about the show, I didn't realize that John is kind of the lead at creating the content that goes on.
Okay.
I thought John just, you know, books the guests, oversees everything.
Right.
I mean, listen, you could say to an executive producer, hey, I didn't think that interview that Colbert did with Denzel Washington was that great. And that guy's not going to take offense to it because he's not running the interview.
Right.
So when you said, oh, that was kind of weird because John's very protective and sensitive about the show, I was like, well, I'm just giving my opinion. He's not running the interview.
Look, it's criticism. It's constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know.
I just said.
We're getting notes right now saying this is a horrible interview.
Why would CJ just tell you that?
I'm taking major notes right now.
Yeah. CJ could just tell you that from across the way. No, but I'm just saying, like, I didn't realize that it was that, you know what I'm saying? Because I just was like, oh, the interview just seemed very one-sided.
One-sided.
But again, that's not John's thing. You know what I mean? Like, John's not running the interview.
It is.
Do you think it is? I mean, like, maybe I'm, I guess I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe because he just started, right? Or no, he's been there for a while.
He's been about 6 months.
All right.
But this is what I love about Gary is he just gets on.
But you were on a call with this guy, right?
No, he's in my car. He's in the car. Okay, he's in my car. John just landed in LA. I haven't seen him probably like 4 months. And Gary's like, let me tell you what you need to do with your show.
Yeah. Let me tell you about the changes that need to happen.
You know,
and how
what
do
I
go about getting on the show?
And what I really don't agree.
Yeah.
And John went to him. He goes, because Gary did the wrap up show on Howard Stern. And John goes, I was looking for your notes to see if you did well or did bad. And he's like, they weren't keeping track at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I did it once years ago. Yes. All of a sudden there's MIA.
So he said that before Gary started shitting on what John's creating on this new show. And I go, Gary, I don't think you're going to get booked on this shit. Like,
it's really
now,
funny.
Why did you feel the need to give him constructive criticism?
Well,
you're in that moment.
Right?
Was your friend?
No.
Are you like friends?
No,
show,
I don't
you
consider.
Know?
I know John through the show, and I would consider. We're not close. I mean, I don't have his number.
Is it because you saw an opportunity to give criticism to someone? Because like, if you get criticism on your jobs, like the warm up at Jennifer Hudson or something like that, now you have an opportunity to maybe bestow some criticism or thoughts.
I was disappointed because I wanted to hear more about Sona.
You wanted to hear more about Sona
rather than these two hosts talking about a day in the life of working there, right? So when I was bringing it up
to... I can see that if she's the guest.
She's the guest and they're, you know... Yeah. So I was just bringing it up in a way that I was like, I was disappointed that I didn't get to hear more about Sona. It wasn't anything constructive in a bad way towards him.
I can see that. I mean, I didn't hear the episode. But yeah, like if they didn't talk enough about the guest, then maybe... I don't know. Yeah, why is she there?
Wait, let me ask you a question. How many times have you hung out with John in person?
I mean, probably two or three. I mean, very few.
You don't know him that well. You
know the Christmas
doesn't
parties.
Doesn't know him that well.
Yeah.
You weren't in Hawaii with him.
Yeah, I was in Hawaii with him.
I
met him twice, and he's like, let me tell you, sir,
what you
need to do.
I was more upset by the two hosts.
Right.
I wasn't, you know, I was just basically saying. And again, I just don't think. If Letterman's interviewing somebody and I say something to his producer, like, hey, I'm kind of bummed that Dave didn't ask him about such and such.
Would you say that to Letterman if you had the opportunity?
No.
Or Conan or whatever.
No. Yeah. No. But if I were friends with the producer, I mean, if you're talking about just a... A purple.
Well, you admit it. You said I didn't even know what he did on the show. I think you admitted that
when he worked at Conan.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
No, what he did at Howard. You didn't even know what he did at Howard.
No, he's just there.
Yeah. By the way, if he was in, like, let's just say I'm watching the show and the set looks terrible, and I know that he's in charge of picking out the couch and he's in charge of putting the plants behind
set
the couch,
design or whatever,
I'd be like, God, this looks like dog shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's a different story.
Yeah.
I know he's
coming from a guy wearing Puma all the time.
Whoa, I love Pumas.
I do too.
Well.
Outlet store Puma, $50 for the classics.
Jesus Christ, I didn't know I was surrounded by Armenians. Jeez. All right,
Gary likes to comment on like aesthetics of like a studio or how things look. I've noticed that.
But I'm just saying, if that were the road that I was going on, knowing that job, but I was literally more critical of the fact that I wanted to hear more from her. And saying it about the host. Yeah, it wasn't necessarily about him.
Well, write a letter next time, Gary.
you might want to be like, Eric, what do you think? I'm thinking of telling him about what I think of this.
Yeah,
this
just tell me and I'll tell him and we'll get around through
Watch
it.
Watch out, CJ.
Yeah, there we go.
You're stepping over the studio. All right. Well, look, I know Gary's got to run to go do his show.
That's right. We got about 20 minutes here.
Yeah.
I'll drink it after the show. Sure. Why not?
Gonna need it. Yeah.
Well, Doug.
Yeah. Well, look what we
what do we figure out tonight?
We've learned, I think, that we definitely grew up being thieves.
Yeah.
You know, like that's something I wasn't expecting to jump into.
No, we both were
kleptos.
Very right turn.
As kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But no longer as adults.
No.
No.
I mean, not that
we're admitting to. Oh, no. Yeah. The Costco. Yeah.
I will do that. Yeah.
The one thing I do think is okay to steal, I would say, are batteries.
Oh yeah,
I don't like paying for batteries.
That was my favorite thing to steal from the Conan show, and everybody, no matter how much money you had at Conan,
right?
Like there was a guy that went from Conan in a huge spot and went to Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah,
and he goes, my favorite thing to do is steal batteries.
Well, like all those shows or offices always have like a shitload.
They have a shitload of batteries.
Every battery,
dude, the
usually.
Batteries would show up and they would be gone in a fucking
and they're so
minute.
Expensive. You just like oh, and like they, you know, I don't know. I just think like my
batteries. They don't pay batteries steal immediately. Battery. Yeah. You steal batteries. That's what's up.
Steal a battery from a store next time you're there. See what happens.
Got to do it. Got to do it.
So we've learned that we were thieves. We've learned that Gary will definitely give you his opinion on your show. I'm sure I'll get a text from him after this show.
Sure. Saying, I'll let you know what I think.
Please cancel this after this episode.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Yeah. I'll let you know.
So you're performing at the Improv tonight.
Yeah, and this then I'm excited about that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and are you going out of town doing any shows, touring around?
I'm doing Gary's working. Austin, Texas next weekend with Jimmy O. Yang. He's filming his brand new comedy special, so I'm going to open for that.
Where's that at?
Austin at the Paramount Theater. That'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, nice.
And then nothing really crazy, just that, and then I'll be working New Year's Eve at the Hollywood Improv.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, with Craig Robinson, so I'm excited about that.
Great. And Eric, you got shows coming. You've been touring around, right?
Yeah. You know, doing the thing. I'm working with Steve Byrne because he hates Gary now.
That's right.
I'll be doing New Year's at the Milwaukee Improv with him. I'll be in San Diego doing a couple shows.
Sweet. What part of San Diego?
What club or just the regular? What shows?
What coffee house?
Oh, yeah, what coffee house now? I'll be doing Madhouse Comedy Club.
Nice.
And doing a winery out there. Check my website out.
Love
Eric Wheelow.
EricWheelow.com, right?
But what I'm doing tonight is I'm driving out to Huntington Beach. I'm doing a show on Veterans Day.
Make sure you follow Gary Cannon on Instagram at Cannon194. He has no followers.
I doubt so.
You
bad.
Really got to up that.
I know, it's bad.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I get it.
Oh, I want to do a video with Gary, and we're talking about it, because you see all these TikTokers, and they're in L.A. or they're in New York, and they go to people, and they go, young people, and they go, what do you pay for rent? And then they tour the thing.
That's bullshit,
though. Oh, yeah. I've seen those. Like New York City. Like, yeah. The
people are letting this guy into their place.
So I want to do a video with Gary where I go to Gary and he looks like, you know, somebody that has money. And I go, how much money do you pay for your kids' rent a month?
Right.
And then he goes, $4,200. And then we tour his fucking house. Because that's what those videos should fucking be, right?
Yeah, people are just randomly letting this guy into their place.
Oh, hey, yeah, it's like a single girl in her 20s. Yeah. She's like, it's a bachelor. I just live here. You know,
and in New York City, nobody's busy. Like, no, they're just like, I got time to run back to where I live.
I go to Gary.
I actually live in Brooklyn. Do you want to get on the subway and come
with that? Do you want to come to my loft that overlooks the World Trade Center?
Exactly.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Fucking losers.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, look. Gary,
thank you for having us.
Eric, thank you for coming on the show. Make sure you follow that. Make sure you follow the podcast, all that good stuff. CJ, thanks for the sounds.
Thanks,
remember,
CJ.
Guys, don't be a basshole. And if you are, laugh about it. Ciao.
You've been listening to I'm a Basshole with Doug Bass. Follow us on Instagram at Basshole Show. Think you deserve to be on the show? Email us at contact@bassholeshow.com and visit our website at www.bassholeshow.com and get the latest information. Subscribe on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast fix, and don't miss the full videos on YouTube. Remember, don't be a basshole, but if you are, laugh about it. We'll see you next time.